We're talking about rejection this morning. This is the third part. This is the last part in a three-part series on rejection. So if you've missed the first two, I'd really encourage you just hop online, jump onto a podcast and look up New Gen City Church and just listen to the other two. I just think what we're going to cover today is called receiving healing. And we're just going to look at some practical things, some principles from the Word of God. And I think what I've been praying for is that as we look at these truths, that we're going to pray today, and there's the possibility that God could do a very deep work of healing in our lives this morning right here. But it may be that you need to take these truths and at home pray again. And I would encourage you just spend some time just worshiping the Lord, get into a quiet space, and just pray through these things again. Or it may be that you need to pray with someone. You may need someone to talk to. That's fine. You're welcome to come and have a chat to any of us, any of the leaders, your home group leaders, whoever. Just a friend that you know who can help you in the Lord and pray things through with you. Sometimes that's needed as well. There are thousands of ways that God can bring healing in our life. And when you look at the Bible and you look at how Jesus healed people, I mean, sometimes he put mud on people's eyes. Sometimes he put his fingers in their ears. Sometimes as the disciples were walking down the road, people got healed as they walked past. As their shadow hit them, they got healed. And other people, I mean, there's just various ways. There's a proverb that says, your word brings health to all my flesh. And so actually, as we read the Word of God and take the Word of God in, it has a healing power in our life. It works healing in our lives. And so this isn't a formula it's not a formula that we can take home and just think, well, I'm going to apply this, I'm going to do all these steps, and I'm going to be healed this afternoon. The key thing is that God is the one who brings healing in our lives. And it's very important for us to work with the Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, because all of us are in a unique circumstance. To get us to this point today, every single one of us has walked a unique journey. None of us have walked the same journey. We've all been born in different households. We've all had different experiences in our childhood. We've all gone through different things. And so it's not just a one-size-fits-all type of thing to receive healing in the area of rejection, because we're unique people. And so we need to allow the Lord to work with us individually and bring healing in the way that he wants to bring healing. He does want to heal, but the way that you get healed is actually not that important. The main thing is God is the one that heals. And if we just put our trust in him, keep pressing in on him, and make sure that some of these things are not causing a roadblock in our lives, when God heals and how God heals is really not that important. It's just to be closer to God and let him work in our lives. Okay. Anyway, so this is the third message on this, and we're going to talk about how to receive healing in the area of rejection. We've already spoken about recognizing rejection in our life, and we've also spoken about revealing the provision that God has made for in this particular area of rejection. And we sung about it this morning, about the beautiful exchange. And last week I spoke about that exchange that takes place on the cross. Everything that happened to Jesus on the cross was so that all the good due to him might be made available to us. There's an exchange that takes place on the cross. All the bad things that we should have happened to our lives were put on Jesus so that we can receive all the good that is due to him. And so this morning, as I said, it's important that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to show us exactly what's going on, because the Holy Spirit is the administrator of all the resources that Jesus has, or everything that he's made available to us is administered through the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 14 and 15 tells us that. John 16, 14 and 15. Jesus says this, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit will take what is Jesus's, and declare it to us. All that the Father has is mine, that's Jesus. Therefore, I said that he, the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and declare it to you. So, everything, the Father has given everything to Jesus, and Jesus has given the administration of all of that to the Holy Spirit. He has now ascended and gone to heaven, and it says when he ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit. Why? So that through the Holy Spirit's work, everything that Jesus has made for us can be made available. Very important. It's very, very important that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in ministry. So let's actually just pray right now and ask for the Holy Spirit's help. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that you've made everything available to Jesus. He is the inheritor of all things. And Jesus, you have sent the Holy Spirit to come and guide us, to come and help us, to be our advocate, our helper, our counselor, our guide. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you this morning to come and minister in our lives. We're talking particularly in the area of rejection. And I pray that this morning you would lead us and guide us in this area so that we can receive healing. I pray that it would be a deep work. And Holy Spirit, we are trusting you to shine a light in our lives and to show us exactly where the area of need is and how we can walk through into the healing that you have for us. And so we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come and speak to us now. I pray that you would just drop images in our mind of maybe people who we need to forgive or whatever it is. Highlight scripture to us, make it alive and real to us this morning. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would minister deeply and bring freedom in the area of rejection this morning. We pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So I'm going to suggest four steps for us to take this morning in order to receive healing from the Lord. And they're all R's, so that you can remember them for easier, for later. First of all is release those who have hurt you through forgiveness. Release those who have hurt you through forgiving them. Or you could say release yourself through forgiving people who have hurt you. So that's release. Then renounce or repent of bad fruit in our lives. Renounce it. Reject it, repent of it, turn away from it, turn to God of bad fruit, and then receive healing. Receive it by faith from the Lord. And then the fourth thing is not for right now, but it's for the future to stay healed, is remind yourself constantly of who you are in Christ. The thing is, when we're healed by God, we have an enemy who wants to retake the ground again. And so it's important for us to stay healed. The Bible says it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Not to go back into bondage again. That's the whole point, is to stay free. So the first step is release those who have hurt you through forgiveness. Forgiving them. And I said it's also not just releasing those that have hurt you, but it's releasing yourself, because forgiveness changes us. It doesn't change the other person. Yeah. You can forgive someone and they remain the same, but you change. Yes. You are set free through forgiveness. And when it comes to things like forgiveness, the example, the best example that we have is Jesus. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, it says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps." Jesus is our example. When it comes to something like forgiveness, we've got to look at Jesus and go, how did he handle rejection? What did he do? And on the cross, when he was totally rejected by his people that he came to save, what did he do? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He forgave. In fact, the Bible says that if we don't forgive others, God won't forgive us. It's pretty serious. Unforgiveness is pretty serious. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15 says, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." I think many of us wish that that verse wasn't in the Bible. But it's true. If we hold back on forgiveness towards others, God holds back on forgiveness towards us. And it's a blockage to healing. When there's unforgiveness in our life, it stops God doing what he wants to do in our lives. Now, the Holy Spirit will help us to forgive. We're not on our own when it comes to forgiveness. The Holy Spirit will help us, but I need to say this. The decision to forgive is yours and mine only. God will never, ever make that decision for us. Never. He will help us, but he will not make the decision to forgive for us. It's totally up to us. And I think it's important to be specific about our decision to forgive people. You can start off by saying, "Lord, help me to forgive," but it's got to go beyond that to, "Lord, I forgive so-and-so. I forgive them for doing this." Specific things, not, "Lord, help me to forgive that person," and then leave it at that. That's asking for help. That's not forgiving. Do you get the difference? Forgiving is actually saying, "Lord, I forgive that person. I forgive them for this reason, for what they did." Okay? The more specific we can be, the more powerful the results will be. The more vague we are, the more vague or watered down the results will be. Because the Bible says, out of the overflow of our hearts, the mouth speaks. And if our mouth is overflowing with lukewarmness in the area of forgiveness, God looks at the heart, not the mouth. He sees actually there's a half-heartedness here in forgiving that person. So there won't be a powerful healing. But when God sees there's an overflow of genuine forgiveness, there's a powerful release that happens. And we can do this with the Lord's help because he gives us a revelation. He gives us a revelation of how much he's forgiven us. And there's a wonderful parable in the Bible about the servant, the ungrateful servant, who was forgiven a multiple lifetimes worth of debt. So much debt that he could never repay it, even if he lived 100 lives. Think of trillions and trillions of dollars. Someone who could never, ever repay it. And the master said, "Okay, I forgive you. I'm wiping that debt clear." And then that guy went out and found someone who owed him like $100 and demanded that he paid. And when the guy pleaded and said, "Please, you know, forgive me, help me, just help me out here," he said, "No, if you don't pay me, I'm putting you in jail." And he did that. And then servants of the master saw this happening, reported back, and the master called him in and said, "Didn't I forgive you of this huge mountain of debt, and you won't forgive that guy there of a much smaller amount, something minute in comparison. And he basically handed the guy over to the jailers to be tormented. That's what happens when we don't forgive. We have a revelation of all the things we've done against God, not against another person. See, our forgiveness is person to person. God's forgiveness is stuff that we've done against Him.
Yeah.
It's far more serious. I know that some of us have gone through incredible hurt and pain, but it's still person to person. Our sins are against God, and He's willing to wipe that away as long as we don't hold on to unforgiveness against another person. Maybe right now, while I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is revealing things to you. Maybe someone popped in your mind while I've been speaking now, and you're like, why am I thinking of that person? I don't like that person. That person harmed me. I don't want to see that person's face. That's the Lord speaking to you, saying that's the person you need to forgive. There's a blockage there. Respond to the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that just in praying with people, I've noticed that sometimes you're praying with someone and just going through multiple events and different people, and as they get to some certain person, it's just like a wall that goes up, and it's such a struggle to forgive. But once they do, there's just a major breakthrough that happens. I've seen it time and time again. And it's just as we're led by the Holy Spirit. There's no formula here. And what I found is extremely powerful is that when you've forgiven someone, pray a blessing over them. See, sometimes people, forgive them with gritted teeth like this. No ways I can pray a blessing. I'm prepared to forgive them, but there's no ways I'm praying a blessing over them. Well, if you can forgive and pray a blessing over them, my goodness, there is power in that. And something else I just need to mention about forgiveness is that it's very common to hear this. Okay, we're talking now. Okay, there was some trauma that happened way back in the day. That person, I don't need to pray about that. I've already forgiven them. Oh, really? You did that once? And today, no problems? Jesus said this when the disciples came to Him. Peter came to Him. Matthew 18, verse 21. Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? He thought he was being generous. Jesus says, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. 490 times. And it's such a common thing to hear, I don't need to forgive that person because I've already forgiven them. The truth is, we need to go on forgiving over and over and over. The minute you feel something inside of you, some hurt, some pain, something rising up inside of you, forgive them again. And don't believe the lie. Forgiveness happened 20 years ago, and I don't need to do it again. Jesus said we need to keep forgiving. Why? It doesn't change the other person. It changes us. And we need that change. We need freedom. And as soon as the prison doors are starting to close in again on us, forgive. And they start trying to close again, forgive again. The same. It might be the same person. Just keep forgiving. Keep releasing that situation to the Lord. Forgiveness is never a single-use remedy, but something we should choose to do every time the Holy Spirit leads us to do. So if someone has popped into your mind now, don't think, I forgave that person 20 years ago. If the Holy Spirit is showing you, you need to forgive him again. Okay? Be led by the Spirit. Step number 2 is renouncing bad fruit or repenting of sin in our lives. make a conscious decision to get rid of bad fruit in our life caused by rejection. Hey, Joss. It's really coming before the Lord and repenting of sin in our lives. You see, here's the thing. We may have been a victim of rejection through no fault of our own. Maybe we never did a thing wrong, but we were hurt by it, okay? But with that hurt, sometimes we open the door and we allow other sins to come into our life. Bad fruit as a result of a wound of rejection. If I can illustrate it like this, imagine in your house, a builder makes a mistake. They are working on the home next door and the wrong button is pushed and the wrecking ball swings and takes out one of the corner of your house. Now you've got a massive hole in your house. That's like the wound of rejection, okay? A massive wound in our lives. But we leave it because it's too difficult to sort out. And over the nights, some vandals come in and they start graffitiing your walls. People come in and they start stealing your furniture. They start breaking things and there's just ruin and havoc happening. But it's secondary problems that have resulted from the initial hole in the wall. That's the kind of thing that can go on in our lives when we receive a hurt or a wound of rejection. If we don't shut that door, we can allow other problems into our lives, other sins. And these things are not, hey, it was that person's fault. These things are our fault. We allowed other things to take root in our lives. They could be sins like anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred, rebellion, things like this. Have a look at Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. These may be some of the fruit that we need to lay down. Galatians 5, 19. Now these are the works. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. Hey, I got rejected. I'm just going to go and sleep around with whoever I feel like. That person hurt me, I'm going to do my own thing. Happens. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are things that need to be repented of. If there's bad fruit in our life, it's not just a case of rebuilding the wall, having the wound of rejection healed, if we've still got a whole pile of bad fruit in our life, because that bad fruit is going to continue to cause problems. So we deal with the wound of rejection and we repent of bad fruit. Sound good? And it's very powerful to pray prayers like this. Lord, I repent of bitterness and I lay down all fruit of bitterness in my life. I lay it down. From this day onwards, I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to choose to mope around because I got hurt 10, 20 years ago. I'm laying down this fruit of bitterness. I want to be different. I want to be changed by the Lord. Lord, I repent of resentment. I lay down all fruit of resentment in my life. I repent of hatred, and I lay down fruit of hatred in my life. Rebellion, or whatever it is, because there's power in the tongue. The power of life and death is in what we say. It's no good sitting there just thinking, okay, yep, I have got a problem like this, and just not saying anything. There's power in speaking it out and saying, Lord, I repent of this thing, and I'm laying down all fruit of that in my life. Repentance means not only to change our mind, but it also means to stop walking down the road that we're walking in and turn to God and start walking towards God. Amen. So to repent of something like hatred means to lay it down, turn around, and don't walk that way again. Walk towards God. Walk in love. The promise of God to us is this, and it's found in 1 John 1, verse 5 to 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 to 9. We'll just read these few verses. It says, "This is the message we have heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." I don't believe this verse is talking about whether you're saved or unsaved. You can be a Christian, saved, but walking in darkness and have no fellowship with God. We can't fellowship with God and walk in darkness. Why is that? Oh, God doesn't want to walk next to me. No, you don't want to walk next to God. He's only ever walks in the light. If I choose to walk in the darkness, God's walking over there. That's what it's saying. Do you get the difference? It's not, hey, God won't help me. It's no, don't walk in darkness. Walk where God walks, and then you'll have fellowship with him. Otherwise, it's a long-distance relationship, and that's not what God's called us to. If we confess our sins, verse 9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Isn't that wonderful? When we bring these things out into the open, when we bring them into the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us and we can walk with God and enjoy fellowship with him. Bring it out by confessing it. Repent of it. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us and restores our fellowship with God. Step number 3 is just to receive healing by faith. It's by faith that we receive healing. Jesus bore our rejection, spoke about it last week, so that we can receive his acceptance, fully accepted because he was fully rejected. And in the same way, you can receive forgiveness for your sins and acceptance for your rejection. Believe it by faith. And when you come to God, you'll find that you're already accepted. That's the wonderful thing. The parable of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, we won't read it, but you can read it for yourself. Luke 15, the son left his father's home, took all his inheritance, spent the lot, lived it up, lived a wild life, sinned, just went crazy. And then when he had nothing, when he was basically had hit rock bottom, he decided, hang on, even the servants in my father's home are better off than me. I need to go back, and I'm too embarrassed to even say, will you accept me as a son? All I want to say is, please just make me a servant. I'll be happy doing that. And it says, while the guy was a long way off, the father saw him. That's a picture of when we turn to God, when we repent from our sin, the Father sees us from a long way off, and he runs towards us. Isn't that a wonderful picture? How often do we think, okay, oh, I've got bad fruit in my life, I need to repent? We think, if I turn to God, he's going to be standing like this. And there I come walking, and it's such a slow walk. It's 10 minutes and I'm halfway there. What is he thinking? It's not like that. When you start turning, the Lord runs towards you. That's the kind of Father he is. He is a loving, gentle, rescuing, redeeming God who wants to bring healing in our lives. He absolutely loves us, and he loves spending time with us. He wants us to be healed so that we can have fellowship with him. He wants to be with us. He doesn't want us to be separate and have all this hurt, all this problem that causes our relationship with God to be hindered. He wants to bring healing so that we can be close to Him. So release those who have hurt you through forgiveness. Repent of bad fruit in your life. And then just ask God for healing and receive it by faith. He is the one who healed. How does He heal? Doesn't matter. Whoa, how's God healing me? I don't know. I don't feel anything. Don't worry about that. You receive it by faith. And let Him do the healing however He wants. And then the fourth step, the final step is this. Remind yourself regularly of who you are in Christ. Once you have taken ground, stand your ground. We talked about that in the previous series on spiritual warfare. When the enemy comes against us, we resist him. We take our stand with the armor of Christ. We protect our minds with the hope of salvation. All these things, we take our stand so that when the enemy comes, we don't lose ground again. Because that's what the devil wants. So step number four, remind ourselves of who we are in Christ. Release those through forgiveness who have hurt you and release yourself. Repent or renounce a bad fruit in your life. Receive healing by faith. And then remind yourself of who you are in Christ. Accept yourself. Don't belittle yourself and don't criticize yourself. God made you. We didn't make ourselves. God made us. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Say that. I'm a masterpiece. Say it again. I'm a masterpiece. Tell the person next to you, you're a masterpiece. That's the truth. Why? Why? Because, oh, I did something great. No. Because God made you. That's why you're a masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Verse 13, "But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you've been brought near through the blood of Christ." Verse 19, "So now you Gentiles," well, that's us, unless there's anyone Jewish here this morning, "are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family." Isn't that wonderful? 22, "Through Him, you Gentiles are also being made part of His dwelling, of this dwelling where God lives by His Spirit." Isn't that wonderful? That's the reality of who we are in Christ. We need to remind ourselves of that. We're a new creation, which means we cannot evaluate ourselves in the way that we used to before we were saved, because we're not the same. We're not even the same creature. We're a new creation. It's like you were a human before you were saved. Now you're something else. You're a new creation. Amen? That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. That's who God says we are, and it's relevant to us. We just have to accept it and proclaim it over our lives. We're a masterpiece. And more than that, you are God's son or God's daughter because He has adopted you into His family. Most wonderful Father you'll ever have in all the universe. I want to just end this morning with a prayer. And I'm going to encourage you just to pray it through with me. Speak it out. Excepting for the parts of, in particular, "I forgive whoever." Do that in your head. But maybe when you go home, if you feel like, hey, I really need to speak forgiveness out over a particular person, you can do it at home or do it with someone else if you want. But for now, we'll just run through this prayer and we're just going to trust that the Holy Spirit works in our life
And even if it's one step forward, maybe it's not the whole thing that's going to be healed right now, but God's going to do something. If you respond to the Lord now, He will do something in your life. Let's just bow our heads. And I'll just pray it line by line, and you can just repeat it. Just let the Lord lead you. Maybe while we're praying, maybe there will be a particular circumstance that'll jump into your mind, or a particular person, and then you can just say, Lord, I release that person, I forgive them, and I pray a blessing over them this morning. Just when we get to that part, let the Holy Spirit just lead you. I'll give you time to do that while we're praying. But let's pray this out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you are the Son of God and the only way to God. I believe that you died on the cross and you paid the price for my sins. I believe that you were buried and that you rose from the dead. I repent of all my sins and I forgive those who have sinned against me. I forgive all those who have rejected me and hurt me. And now just in your minds, you don't have to pray this out, but just if there's a particular person or people that you need to forgive, just in your heart, just between you and the Lord, just say, Lord, I forgive that person. I'll just give you some time. Just say, Lord, I forgive that person and I pray a blessing over them, just in your mind. Okay, let's continue with the prayer. I believe, Lord, that you do accept me. I am accepted because of your work on the cross. You suffered rejection, and in exchange I receive acceptance. The curtain is torn, and I am accepted. I am highly favored, and I am the object of your special care. I know that you really love me, and I love you. I want to be with you. Thank you that I am a member of the family of God, the best family in the universe. Thank you, Jesus. I accept myself. This is the final bit. I accept myself the way you've made me. I am your masterpiece. The work you have begun in me, you will bring to completion. And now, Lord, I proclaim my release from any dark, evil spirit that took advantage of the wounds in my life. I call on you to deliver me now. I release myself in the name of Jesus. Amen. And now, Lord, I just pray over all of us this morning. I pray healing. I pray for a deep work of healing. I pray for release. I pray for freedom in the name of Jesus. Every foothold that the devil has got in people's lives here this morning, I pray release and freedom over them now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that any wounds of rejection would be miraculously healed and mightily healed in the name of Jesus. No matter how damaging the wound was, Lord, you are able to heal it. You are able to work with infinite power, all power, and bring healing this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and just fill right now. Fill us all. Let rivers of refreshing, life-giving water flow from within our lives. I pray for the oil of joy to be released over us. I pray for tremendous healing to take place. Come, Holy Spirit, and do a wonderful work in our lives. We thank you for what you've started here this morning. Thank you for the work you're doing. Let it be an ongoing and an ever-deepening work. Lord, I pray that you would draw us closer and closer into relationship with you. I pray that for us it would be a new day in our walk with you. There'd be a new closeness, a new intimacy with you from this day onwards. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a round of applause. Amen.